Remember, I'm starting a company. I've got lots of theses about what people want. I've built a company with technologists and experts, people around me, people that are on a mission to do some good with this company. But we need to pivot. We need to be agile. What we just discovered, like, that isn't right. We need to change something quickly.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to SaaS Connect Online. My name is Julie Jacobson. I'm from Salesforce, and I will be your host for today's event. I've been with Salesforce for a bit over 5 years, and I'm based in London. I'm American, as you might be able to tell from my accent, but have been having a wonderful time living in London, and Dom with me here today is also based in London, so we're really excited to be here. So yes, today we have the wonderful Dominic DiNardo, who's the CEO and co-founder of Afforza, an industry cloud company dedicated to the consumer goods industry. And he's going to speak to us about how we can get inside the minds of world-class entrepreneurs and visionary entrepreneurs as we speak about and learn tips and tricks about becoming a successful SaaS company and by leveraging the Salesforce platform as well. So just a reminder, feel free to ask your questions throughout the conversation. This is hopefully going to be engaging and back and forth. So fire away in the Q&A section below. And also as a reminder, if you haven't yet, you can join the Cloud Software Association for free. Go to cloudsoftwareassociation.com. And we're also excited that there will be an announcement coming up soon about a virtual SaaS Connect in mid-June as well. So hopefully you're able to join that. So anyways, Dom, do you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic DiNardo. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Afforza. Thank you, Julie and Salesforce. Thank you, CSA, for having me today.
Amazing. Thank you for joining us. And Dom and I have spoken on other events before. He participated in one of our podcasts as well. So yes, we go way back, and I hope it's a very engaging conversation. And Dom, you're quite funny as well. So I'm sure everyone will get a kick out of you today.
Setting me up now. Okay.
No pressure. Wonderful. So let's get off and start by talking about your very distinguished career that you've had. I think it's really interesting to hear about your career path, ranging from Salesforce to Veeva to Vlocity. And in 2019, you started Afforza with your co-founders. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what made you decide to set up your own company, Dom?
I think you're setting the question up well, Julie, because there was no road to Damascus moment when I suddenly decided to start Afforza. There was a journey. It was a journey, not a destination. As you pointed out, I actually joined Salesforce. I was figuring this out, actually, literally 20 years ago.
Wow, it's your anniversary.
It is my anniversary. I joined as a third employee in the UK. It was Salesforce.com at that point as a solution engineer. And I had 10 and a half years there where it was an amazing career. I loved it. I did really well. And it was a fantastic experience. And I think of it now as I went to the school of SaaS. That's my little joke, right? I went to the school of SaaS, software as a service. That was the first decade. And then the second decade of my career was still in the Salesforce ecosystem, but it was now in partner companies, importantly, industry cloud companies. I started to learn about how you could take the Salesforce platform and apply it. In the case the audience doesn't know, an industry cloud company is a SaaS company, a software company, but one that's dedicated to particular industry verticals. I had a very good fortune to be in Veeva Systems, one of Salesforce's greatest partners, a market cap of about $40 billion, I think, more or less now. And then I ran Europe for Vlocity, a company Salesforce acquired. So I went through this industry cloud experience for about a decade. So that was my second decade. And now I guess I'm going into my third decade. I decided to run my own company together with my co-founders. So this journey took me on a path to understanding the power of the platform, power of industry cloud as a proposition. And of course, during that time, I started to spot telltale signs about why Afforza would be a good idea.
Amazing. That is quite the journey. And it's really interesting because it's always about a point in time. We were going to also have a fourth decade and a fifth decade and a sixth decade. So we can't wait to see all the places that you go.
Well, I would say, actually, I think this is probably common to many people in my position, is you don't really think about stopping. There's no retirement date in my mind. Like, this is what I do. I'm not going to stop.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Absolutely. Dom, one of the things I've been really fascinated about when learning about your career and your journey is how entrepreneurs really come up with their idea. So tell me about your experience. You know, were you and your founder sitting around a table one day brainstorming, or did an opportunity come up and then you brought the team together? So tell me a little bit about that. And then how do you know it was the right one? And how did you go about validating it as well?
So for me, at least, there was no eureka moment. It wasn't like I was Archimedes in the bath and thought, eureka, here's the idea. There was lots of seminal moments along the way. I had little early in my Salesforce career, I had a good fortune to work on a project with Nestle in Southeast Asia. And I went out with Nestle into the jungle and saw them operating. And those experiences were really formative and influenced me. And I never forgot them, even to this day, actually in Afforza. I still remember this experience from 20 years ago, what these guys had to do. And there's things working for Mark and Mark's management team, understanding how to run a SaaS company, wanting and aspiring one day to be like him and to do it myself. And then working with other great leaders in industry cloud companies and realizing how much value you could bring if you actually focus on the industry. And so I had all these things that it was building up. Think of it like water in a dam steadily building up for the last 20 years. And there's another facet to this, which is I think you, as you're on your journey, I'm sure many people can relate to this. There are people around you in your circle of trust, and it goes deeper than just being colleagues. People become very strong friends as you work together very closely through the trials and tribulations of your career. And you start to accumulate people when you share ideas and you're talking about them. So I think there's no, for me at least, there was no eureka moment. It was a culmination of many moments, really. And finding people who shared similar values, people who had a similar ambitions. Now, we knew, and I knew from my time for the last 20 years, that consumer goods, our target market for Afforza, we knew it was underserved. And there's something I want to say about this, because it's really important, I think, that as well as having ideas, it starts off with things like, in simple terms, I know for consumer goods, it's underserved. Plenty of analyst reports out there talk about it. They have real challenges with mobility. But the more you learn, you start to find out things. And let me just, Julie, explain a couple of things to really give this color. For example, I can tell you, and maybe people will be shocked to hear this, that for consumer goods companies, food, beverage companies in the world today, this is actually quite shocking, but one third of everything they make ends up in the bin, ends up in the garbage. It gets wasted. It doesn't get consumed. It just goes nowhere. Now, hold that thought in your head, and let me tell you something else. I think this statistic came from the United Nations, I'm pretty sure. About 9%, call it 1 in 10 people in the world, still goes to bed hungry. When you're researching an area and you start to learn about consumer goods, now, I'm pretty sure that people listening to this will be thinking, I didn't know that. I didn't know a third of everything that was produced goes in the garbage can, and I kind of knew people were hungry, but I didn't realize it was still 1 in 10. Now, if you create a company where you are trying to influence that kind of business motion, because let's not forget, the people who work in consumer goods companies, they're good people. They're like you and me. They're smart. They're trying hard.
They want to make the world a better place.
Yeah. They're worried about sustainability. They're worried about these things, but they're trying to like figure this out all the time. And they're underserved by our industry technology. Now, if Afforza just makes a slight improvement to that, the world will be better. Now, when I describe that to you, and we move from the concepts of the target market, everything, what we've gone from is from validating a business idea to start to create a mission. And when you create a mission and you give a sense of purpose to your company, people don't just work. It's different. There's a passion, an enthusiasm, an energy, a deliberate just sense of purpose. I think that's really, really important. So yeah, you can validate things with people, et cetera, and you can do all the research. But I would say it's, in my experience, the thing that I would say is if you can get to the mission, it trumps it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We talk a lot about doing well and doing good. And of course, we all want to create successful companies, but at the same time, we also all want to give back. I know for myself, I don't want to be on my deathbed, hopefully in many, many years, and think back and just think that I worked my butt off, but I didn't actually achieve something that was giving back to the world. And my personal purpose is really about how do I make the world a better place than when I came? And that's a perfect example that you just gave.
We kind of deviate a little bit here, but just two things I would say that really influenced me was one, I remember being in Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, one of his management meetings, and he talked about when he worked in a prior employer, how after doing another quarter after another quarter and just getting numbers, it felt empty without that sense of purpose. And that's a grind. And grind is work. And work is something that you do when you're not on vacation, you know what I mean? But yeah. Like what you said, like what I'm saying is resonating with you because you like that sense of purpose and the idea of giving back. Nobody wants to go to the grave saying, hey, I sold a bunch of software. Aren't I great? I had a second thing I would say that made a big impact on me. It's kind of a little bit of a sad story, really, in a way, but I deeply remember back in 2008, unfortunately, my father passed away and being at his funeral service and doing the eulogy. And I remember actually in that church, this was a church he had built. He had designed this church. And I was thinking, he's gone now. But like all these people here, it's still being used for weddings, christenings, Sunday service. And his legacy has been left behind. It never left me that what is my legacy? And I think if you can find that sense of purpose and that legacy, I think you're just frankly happier.
Yeah. And then you never work a day in your life, right? Because you're giving back and you're contributing to the world.
Absolutely. Well, to be realistic, I'm a human being. Sometimes it does feel like work, I'll be honest.
Sometimes it's work as well. But
sometimes it's work.
No, absolutely. No, I think that's a great story and a great example. And I loved what you said about the industry. And just diving a little bit deeper on the industry, though, and back to your first point about the three decades, the School of SaaS, the second decade, yeah. You know, and then Forza. When did you start to get that industry expertise? Because that's what then kind of piloted understanding the gap for a Forza to come in and help. But where did you start getting that expertise?
Well, the seed was sown in that Nestle experience in the jungles of Southeast Asia back in 2003 or four. And it's kind of funny, actually, because somewhere I have a photograph of me that day taken on a mobile device. And the photograph is about like, it's this size, it's tiny, right? And my joke is, it's not because I've zoomed out the photograph, it's because that was the resolution of devices at that time. They were like, it's kind of funny. But that was the initial seed. But I think what people listening are thinking about, well, how do I learn this stuff? Is it like you had that lucky experience, Dominic? What would I do? I think there's two parts to this. Research can, of course, be academic. You can think, you can have a hunch and want to go learn about it. I think the second thing you do, though, is you complement it with your real life experiences. And probably everybody knows somebody or something, or they can find a way to like get connected with people. But it's really important that you complement the academic research and learnings with like real life experiences, anecdotes, stories, people, connections. And then I think there's an element to this, which is in that learning journey, as you become more and more aware of it, look for patterns. In my history of Salesforce, learning about how to build a cloud company, learning the business model of a SaaS company, learning industry cloud companies, and people around me, and this is very important actually as well, is my co-founders and my management team, my leadership team, the people I trust around me, they all have similar abilities to pattern match. Not exactly the same, because that would be silly, but we understand how we complement and fit together, pattern match these experiences and drive it to this goal. So we knew there were serious gaps in this market. We knew, we started finding things like this artificial intelligence is not being used properly, mobile is not being used properly. People are actually, we found academic reports that Accenture had written that said consumer goods was a laggard for digital transformation. We had all these sources and we started to sum them together. I think one other thing I would say, because I think the audience is probably people who are entrepreneurial in nature and thinking about starting companies or have started companies themselves. Something else we did, we built relationships. And I spent quite a lot of my time doing this, actually, with investors as well. I made them part of my team. I made them part of the circle of trust. I asked them to help with research. They started to become part of the validation cycle. So rather than it being, I think a traditional model is, I've got a great idea. Here's my business plan. Here, Mr. Investor, you take it and go validate it. This, that kind of happens. But what I did was I kept it to be a continuous dialogue where I've got these assumptions to validate. What do you think? And actually, some of them came back and said, we validated it. We think you've underestimated it. It could be bigger. Yeah. And so the way I treat my investors is I'm very transparent and sometimes that can produce other challenges, but I bring them into the circle of trust and make them part of the team. So all of these things together, I think, help in that journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that trust is really important in building relationships and building connections and continuing to expand that network that you talked about and to keep those connections for decades, like we've discussed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dom, you've had a very fortunate experience with your career path and being able to build this really expansive network that you're able to lean on and get validation from that we've just talked about. So, but if you didn't have that, how would you say that you get that validation if you don't have such an extensive network that you could really lean into?
Yeah, I thought about that actually a lot. And I kind of think that you're right. There's a famous story where Napoleon was picking generals for a campaign once. And they said, you've got General A does this and General B does that. Napoleon asked the question, well, which one's the lucky one? There is an element of luck with these things, of course. But you do create your own luck. Let's be true. Let's be fair. So let's answer the question. I think if I were listening to this and I was thinking, right, this guy's talking all this stuff, but he's been part of the Salesforce management team and he's had 20 years of just telling us about all these people he knows, what would I do if I didn't know that? Well, what I would say is that's kind of true. I have had an advantage of time there, but many of the people that are influencing a Forza now, like Gonzalo Esposito, the former commercial CIO of Unilever, I didn't know before the spring of 2019. It was only through reaching out to a tenuous relationship with somebody I kind of knew a little bit in Salesforce that was going to be working in a similar area and like just making calls. And what I would say is, even if you have a small network, you know somebody. It might be your mum, right? I don't know who it is, but you know somebody, and you have to like just reach out. It's kind of a bit like a, even if you start on LinkedIn and just find like groups of LinkedIn or something where there's people with common interests and things, there are ways to find people. There are people who write papers. You can reach out to the authors. You can start your own network. I think what I would do if I was in that position is I would have, of course, okay, what's the key things that I'm trying to do here? What are the key themes? Where would I find a research for this? Who would provide that research? Who are those people? Would they take my call? Can I reach out to them? And if you reach out and connect, you will start to find that you build your own network, perhaps quicker than you might realize. One of the things that I find especially has worked for me in the last 12 years or so is in an industry, for a Forrester, for example, focusing on an industry, that amplification effect of knowing people happens very, very quickly. Because if you're connected with the CIO of Unilever, you're going to talk to the CIO of Kimberly-Clark or the CIO of Diageo or something. Like your ability to network quickly within a group of people who all know each other accelerates. So my advice would be start with like, who can you get to know? And then work from that. It's definitely a very achievable thing. And you know what? If you're unable to do it or no one's interested in your idea, probably an important lesson there as well, right?
Yeah.
Before you get
to know. I think that's a really good point. And you're right. People are people, right? Everybody wants to build those connections. And I think a lot of people are open to having a conversation and being able to give feedback and taking that feedback.
Well, to actually, I've got a new business idea. And I was wondering if you've got time tomorrow for a quick call. Would you mind helping me out for 5 minutes?
I would love to, Dom. I'd be more than happy to.
See, people like to help people, right? Actually, if I said that in truth, I'm playing. But if I said that in truth, you would help me, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not just because I know you.
If you called me, I would help you.
Absolutely. But it's not only because I know you either. It's because if somebody needs help, everybody wants to contribute, even if you have a relationship with them or you don't.
Asking for help is a very powerful human. It's human empathy is a very powerful thing. Asking someone for help, it's very hard to say no to it, actually. Nobody likes to do it.
Yeah.
It's a particularly hard-nosed person to like refuse to help someone.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know what's interesting is that a lot of these relationships and conversations happen face to face, and they have been over the past several years, with the exception of the pandemic. So how do you build these relationships when you can't visit people or companies and be there face to face, when the world becomes virtual all of a sudden and you go years and years without seeing anybody, including your employees? What have you done in that situation, and how has it affected Forza?
Do you know what? It's such a great question, and it's so hard to answer. I don't know how we did it. Kind of magic. Half the employees, I've met them all since, obviously. But during this period, I think at certain points in time, I had not physically met half our employees. Mm-hmm. It's only recently I've actually been able to meet physically some of our key customers. It just sounds insane to me. Like, it just seems like so strange. I think that Forza was in many ways born into a remote virtual world. I didn't choose with my co-founders to start a company in one of the most bizarre, strangest periods of our lives, frankly, not just our careers. It's been a very difficult process. But I think that necessity is the mother of invention. We learned how to find people. You know, we were just chatting before we started the webinar. I mean, Forza's first company was in Portugal. Our second customer is in Kenya. We've got customers all over the place, South Africa,
yeah,
Belgium, United States. We have users in 4 continents, I think, now. It's kind of crazy. But we did that going nowhere, like not physically leaving the office or our homes, rather, at that point. It was kind of mad. But in a weird sort of way, because you're not visiting people, you kind of talk to anyone, right? Anyone who speaks your language. What I'm noticing now, and something that's actually top of mind for me, is I have this other weird effect. People think about, oh, how'd you handle the pandemic? I'm thinking about how you handle the post-pandemic, because half of a Forza is full of young professionals who are at the first real job of their careers. They haven't done face-to-face customer meetings ever. Today, I hosted, actually, here in our office in Camberley in Surrey, I hosted a rehearsal for a very important face-to-face meeting we're doing for a customer next week. Of course, we do rehearsals before, but this was the first time. They said to me afterwards that some of the guys, and we've got some great people working for us, that was really valuable. We've never done that before. Actually practicing how we're going to do an introduction in front of an audience in person.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I said to some of the people, like our quarter ended a couple of weeks ago, I said, like, have we gone out to visit these people? They can come and visit us too. It's weird. We've got to relearn. I tell you what's strange, Julie. We've got to relearn muscle memory of things that we knew, like, intrinsically through our whole careers that people stopped doing for 2 years. We've got to relearn how to do it. So I think the bizarre thing is, now that we survived the pandemic, now that you got through it, is, all right, understand the world you're in now. And I think we're in a hybrid world where there's a lot of remote, but there's a lot of in-person, and there's no right or wrong answer here. You have to know how to do all of it, right?
We're all learning as we go, right? You've got to figure out how to navigate this new world. Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. So let's transition a little bit and talk about why you decided to build Afforza on Salesforce. We've heard that you've worked for Salesforce for over 10 years, but that was over 10 years ago, and you've decided to stay in the ecosystem. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey and those decisions?
So I guess in some ways it kind of looks obvious, why would you do it? Look, people who know me know that if you like literally cut Dominic in half, there'd be the original no software sign inside me, like showing there, like Salesforce is really an important part of my life. But that all being said is I'm also a businessman, a technologist, and I would not just build on it because, hey, I'm a loyal guy and I like them. That would not happen. I think if you look back, Julie, maybe you're too young, but do you remember Betamax? Do you remember videos, Betamax? Do you remember Betamax versus VHS? Oh, you're too young.
No.
Betamax was a great... Is this lost on you? Betamax was a great technology. My dad had a Betamax video recorder. It went nowhere. It was superior to VHS. It just didn't work. Or things like mini discs or... Surely you remember compact discs?
Of course. Yes, I do.
Okay, right. Like now, it seems like really retro, right?
Right.
Lots of great... Do you remember a company called Oracle? Do you remember them? Apparently, they were good once, right? And then it went away. I think the thing that's amazing to me is I realized in 2002 that this whole idea of what was called on-demand before cloud computing, what Salesforce was and its concept was really revolutionary. That to me was mind-blowing. And that's why I joined the company and made my career there. Mm-hmm. What to me is more mind-blowing, I just cannot believe it, is that in 2022, there is still no other CRM platform in the world, no other multi-tenant platform with the security, availability, integration, or extensibility. It just competes. I just do not believe it. So whilst I'm a Salesforce guy through and through, like it's a ruthless technology decision as well. I think that to me, it's obvious. And actually the speed at which Afforza has been able to bring products to market on the platform, I think is a really important point as well.
Absolutely. And I think there's some comments in the chat here about Betamax. So I think you've got some Betamax.
I missed the chat. I can't see it. Is there some Betamax fans out there?
Yeah. Pete said Betamax was actually the better technology outmarketed by VHS. Then it all went away.
True. Pete's right.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cool. And so that's a really interesting story. And I appreciate you telling us that background. So, you know, you make this big decision to build a company on Salesforce and the platform, the technology decision. Since then, what benefits has Salesforce provided to you to help make Afforza successful?
Yeah, so obviously we have a very close relationship with Salesforce, even just things like this webinar, right? It's just an example of our relationship. I think that for me, there are some fundamental things that don't change as time goes on. Salesforce is a company. It's got human beings working for it. They come, they go. But there are some fundamental things that underpin the relationship. I think number one is trust. I have a high degree of trust in the company. I get speed and agility. You remember, I'm starting a company. I've got lots of theses about what people want. I've built a company with technologists and experts, people around me, people that are on a mission to do some good with this company. But we need to pivot. We need to be agile. What we just discovered, like that isn't right. We need to change something quickly. Using the Salesforce technology with our engineering capabilities, which not to blow our trumpet, we're really very good at it. Like using these two things together has given us an ability to pivot, be agile, to meet market demands. We do, just like Salesforce, we do 3 releases a year, same sort of philosophy. And the ability we've had to bring products to market rapidly because of the speed, agility, and the trust we have in the platform below it is really, really key. I can't emphasize enough, when you're a young company, you're going to find out that you made some mistakes. How fast can you fix them? Because that means a lot. And if you're partnering with your customers in a partnership of trust, your transparency and ability to fix them quickly is going to make your relationship stronger. It's how you handle the challenges. And if you've got the underpinnings of a relationship and platform like Salesforce, your ability to do that is really, really good.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, right? It's okay to make mistakes, but you want to be able to pivot quickly and be able to fix that mistake and then continue forward. Like you don't want to prevent the innovation from trying and failing, but let's fail quickly and then move forward.
Nobody wants to have some sort of problem. And of course, we don't either, but it's how you come through things and actually get to the solutions and making people successful that they don't forget. It's how you handle the challenges. Yeah. Handling challenges is what builds relationships between people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When things get hard, when things get a little stressful, that's when you see the real people show through. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Great. So I've got one more question for you, Dom. And if anybody has any questions in the chat, feel free to add them in as well.
Really, before the question, to kind of make one plug for my company.
Of course. Yes, plug away.
Plug for my company that I actually should have added to this is, you know, we just did our first customer satisfaction survey, first NPS survey. And just about that agility point, we scored 8.7.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Why so high?
I think it's rooted to what I just said. That's why I wanted to mention it.
Yeah, That's amazing. That's fantastic. Congratulations to Forza. Very excited to hear about your success so far and also your future success. I'm sure we'll continue to hear more about you. So my last question for you, Dom, is just kind of a closing. Do you have any other kind of fast tips or any quick tips and tricks for other people on the call, maybe that are planning to build a new company that aren't sure where to start, what to do? What would you say with them?
Well, Julie, first thing I'd say is, I realize we're probably up against time here, is I have some suggestions, but I'm always slightly reticent to answer a question like this because I feel like, what the hell do I know versus these people who write books and everything else? But I would say, in my experience, I think there's a few things I would recommend. Number one, what I learned from Salesforce is the importance of vision and values. Locking on that and aligning on that is really, really important. Have powerful friends. And what I mean by that is Forza is built on the shoulders of two cloud computing giants, Salesforce and Google. They're my friends. That's a huge accelerant. And then I think the third thing I would say, which I've come to realize more and more at this point in life, maybe I'm getting old, is being self-aware and honest with yourself. I feel I know what I'm good at, but I also know what I'm not good at and what I need other people to help me with. And I'm comfortable with it. I think doing this kind of thing, you're going to be on a roller coaster. There's going to be highs and lows. Personally, I find that addictive. Maybe some people would hate it, but I think being self-aware about it is the important thing to set yourself ready for doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. Well, Dom, I think that you could write a book, and maybe you should consider that as your fourth decade.
Want to help me?
Absolutely. I'd love to be your co-author. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Are there any questions from the audience? Does anybody want to put anything into the chat? A really tough one for Dom.
Thanks, Julie. You said you wouldn't do that. Pete Nichols, hang on, he says, Dominic, what is it about AppExchange that had the biggest positive impact on your growth? Pete, I think, actually, that's a great question because there's something I probably should have said in the answers previously. So thanks for asking it. I think one of the things that we get an advantage of is because we're on the AppExchange, we had to pass a security review. So there's a kind of a validation point, which means that people have checked and certified that what our applications do meet a certain high standard. Because we're on the AppExchange, we're in an ecosystem, a whole bunch of other partner companies. So for example, some of Forza customers will use Service Cloud and a Forza, and then they'll use, for example, telephony vendors to integrate into all this. And so because you're in now with this ecosystem, it just makes it more attractive to customers knowing that this stuff is going to plug together pretty much like Lego. Of course, there's more to it than that, but they have there's a big sort of safety and security feeling like I'm on this platform, it's highly available. And so in some ways, I think the ecosystem itself is kind of a selling point. The fact that you've passed a certification test, the fact that you're surrounded by partner companies to add more value and give a route to that customer, it turns into a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And then I guess the flip side of that is what Jaron is asking as well is, have there been any challenges with the AppExchange?
I'd love to say something just to make this credible, but I'm trying to think now. Do you know what? Send me your email address, and if I can think of something to tell you. I think the challenges. No, my new shy really. I think now, in truth, that could be because my co-founder, Nick Eales, who runs product, he's like been in the Salesforce world for like 15 years or something himself. It could be that we're just so familiar with it. Sorry for ducking the question. I don't have a good answer. It's the truth.
No worries. Well, we appreciate your authenticity as well. I think that's the most important part here. I know you probably wouldn't want to read this yourself, so don't be embarrassed. But Stefano was just mentioning how you're a great leader and a great person and how you're going to be changing the consumer and goods world for the better. So you are certainly a company and a person to be on the lookout for. So thank you, Dominic, for existing.
Thank you, Stefano. Stefano, I don't want to embarrass him, identify him completely, but Stefano was a great colleague of ours in our days of Velocity. And Velocity, Italy is a very special place in my heart for all the hard work those guys did building that company.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's wonderful. Well, I think that's all the questions that we have coming in, but I'm sure both Dom and I are available if you want to add us on LinkedIn to connect later on. Again, it's all about these connections and relationships. So we're here and available to answer any questions that you have. And Dom, any parting words?
No, just huge thank you to you, Julie, team at CSA, and thanks everybody for listening. I hope you found it helpful. And please, yeah, as Julie says, reach out on LinkedIn. Love to connect.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for joining us today and for your wonderful questions. And I hope you enjoyed our session. So thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.